Well, good morning to you. It's good to see you. It's good to have you with us. We have some visitors here, and they may or may not claim me, but I'll claim them. It's good to have a good family that'll stand with you and support you and encourage you in all that you do. And we've got a great support network there. But last week we talked about giving up is not an option. And we'll carry that on this week. And so if you weren't here last Sunday morning, let me catch you up to speed. For those of you who were here last Sunday morning, this is not a time to take a break. This is a time to refresh yourself to get ready for this week's lesson. Giving up is not an option. We talked about how we had to persevere. We had to persevere through all things that we could make it to the end. That we're going to go through various trials, and in going through those various trials, our perseverance will strengthen, and our ability to endure those different trials that we face will become easier. And that we do not need to fall into the trials and into the temptations which Satan sets before us. We talked about how we can resolve those trials, and those trials could be complete, and those trials could be overcome simply by trusting in God. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In verse 4 of James, it said, "You will lack nothing." We talked about how nothing was too difficult for God. A God that could create this entire world in 6 days, what could He not do? And how He could change anything in your life. And you go, "Well, it's just, you don't understand my situation and how tough things are." Nothing is too hard for God. Knowing that nothing is too hard with God and Christ thus living in us, we know that we can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. No matter what your situation is, no matter how difficult it is, nothing's too difficult. Nothing's too hard for God. We discussed how you may say, "My life, my marriage is dead, my relationship is dead, how things are dead in my life," and that's a great thing because God raises the dead, that we could walk in newness of life. Nothing is too hard for God. And we lastly discussed that how giving up is not an option because giving up equals no harvest. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And that gets us to this morning. And this morning, we're going to look at the idea of giving up, and we're going to look at specifically the book of Hebrews. If you think about the book of Hebrews, the writer is writing to the Hebrew people who have recently became Christians, and how the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Law is now completed. It is now perfected. It is now complete in entirety, the covenant of God with this New Testament that has been brought forth in the fulfillment of those prophecies through His Son, Jesus of Nazareth. And so He gives several different warnings and several different ideas that says, don't quit, don't stop, don't turn back to your old way, keep going, keep growing as you keep going. And those are some of the things we'll look at this morning. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. This really is our first warning given by the writer. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore," that "therefore" is important. Pay attention, he says. Listen up. Everybody listen up. We've got something to discuss, something for you to hear. He said, "Therefore, we must give the things... Give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord?" If you neglect this salvation, if you neglect it, if you put it away, if you don't care about it, do not be deceived. You will also receive a reward. But God being a just God, and God being a holy God, And God being the most righteous judge that one could have, He punishes evil. And He rewards righteousness. So by neglecting that salvation and neglecting that way of which we could be found righteous in the sight of God, we receive the reward of which we have earned on our own, which comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Knowing this, how could we ever neglect such a great salvation? When knowing that when we neglect it, knowing that when we put it away, knowing that when we say, well, I don't need that, we are manifesting, we are stating that I'm all right with eternal death. I'm all right with eternal destruction. Did you really think? When you think about God and how God is and how God is just and holy, do you really think He's going to allow you just to simply not obey? When time and time again He has proved Himself that He destroys evil and the righteous receive the reward. You stand there going, well, I'm just going to throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away such a great salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, we have that therefore again. In all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a propitiation of our sins of the people, for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus has been there, done that, got the t-shirt, wore it, it's all the same. He said, I've been there. We have that high priest, we have one who we can relate with, who can relate with us, who understands the way that we suffer, that understands the way that we struggle with those trials and with those tough times in life and those storms of life. He can relate to us in every way. Except for He was successful in resolving those trials and that He did not sin. He's felt those struggles. He's felt those times of great despair where the weight and the burden of others is laid upon you and you feel like, well, there's just no way I can pull through. And He said, I know what it's like. We have that Jesus who knows exactly what it's like. So we can't quit. Because He didn't quit. Because He didn't stop. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 19, it says in verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Verse 16, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. See, as brothers and sisters, we have the duty, we have the responsibility to build one another up, to exhort one another, to help one another, to build each other up today. And why do you do it today? Because you do not know what tomorrow has. You do it today. You do it every day because now is the time that you know that you were given. I was reading a story of a group of missionaries who were going to go to Africa. And there was four men that were going to go, and they were going to go check on the mission work that was being done that they were helping support. Well, two of them, they got on the boat in New York Harbor there, and they got on the boat. And the other two, I could probably relate to these two. They thought, well, if we're going to go to Africa, this might be our only chance. So they ran across town to get some hunting supplies. They had to go get some bullets. They had to go get some stuff to get ready. They said, well, you know, we'll hunt while we're in Africa. And while they went across town, they did not calculate how much time it was going to take them to get over there and then to get back. One of the other preachers, he said, well, can we wait? He asked the captain, he said, can we wait? I know the boat's supposed to leave at 1 o'clock. They're coming back. I know they're coming back. They just went away. They're going to come back. He said, we leave at 1. And so the horn blasted. It's 2 minutes. They dropped the first set of lines of which the boat was tied to the harbor. He said, are you sure we can't just wait on them just a little bit? He said, we leave at 1. He sounded the horn a second time. They dropped the last ropes. They dropped the ramp going on to the boat. You see, the other two that had gone across town to get their hunting supplies, they knew when the boat was going to leave. They knew the boat was going to leave, but guess what? They weren't ready. Because they weren't concerned about that. They put priorities over here to say, well, we'd rather do something that would make me happy, that would give me a little bit of joy, than focusing on where they ought to be, when they ought to have been there. And as we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be where we ought to be when we ought to be there, today, while we have this time today, to build one another up. We don't want to be like those Israelites who started to grumble against God and groaned against God as they were walking through the wilderness, and they said, let us die. Let us return back to Egypt. Let us go back. At least we had a little bit of food to eat. Well, you have manna. Well, we're sick and tired of manna. Give us something else. We'd rather be slaves than be wandering around in this wilderness headed to this place of rest. Brothers and sisters, do we ever catch ourselves going, I want to go back to where I was. I want to go back to what I was enjoying, because right now I know I'm headed to a place of rest, but I'm losing all of my hope. I'm losing all of my anticipation. I'm losing all of my drive and my desire. Because I look back and I see, well, I knew what I had here. We'll be just like these Israelites who wandered and died in the wilderness because they groaned and complained against God. We got to keep on keeping on. We can't stop. We can't let up in what we're doing. We've got to keep on going. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. This is to tell you a four-letter word, P-R-A-Y, pray. To come boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus came here. Jesus came here and He lived. Jesus came here and lived and walked. Jesus came here, lived, walked, and persevered through life's struggles and temptations without sin. So how did He do that? Go back and look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at when Jesus struggled. Look at when Jesus was tempted. Look at the Garden of Gethsemane. What did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. He didn't say, I got it myself. I can take care of this. Y'all just leave me alone. I've got this under control. Do you know who I am? No, he prayed. He prayed to God. He talked to his daddy about, strengthen me, help me, let me endure, How many times do you find Jesus drifting off, slipping away to pray? And how many times do I pray when I'm faced with struggle, when I'm faced with storms, when I'm faced with various trials? Sometimes I look and I go, well, I don't even pray as much as the Son of God, who had the power to heal the sick, to make the lame walk, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. And yet he prays more than I pray. Should we not pray more than Jesus? We're powerless without God. And I think the main reason that Jesus was able to endure so much pain, to endure so much torture, and not give in to Satan, is because he prayed so much to God to strengthen him. How often do we pray to the one who can relate to us in our struggles and in our sins? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and put Him to an open shame. You obeyed Christ. You enjoyed the blessings that flowed from that and from obeying Christ and being a child of God. And you enjoyed it and you thought how great and how wonderful it was, and then you just threw it away. You made it to a point in your life and you just said, I'm done, I give up, I quit. I'm through. You fell away. You just gave all of the wonders and all of the blessings and all of the things which God gives to His children. Just threw it away. And when you throw it away, and you think about what Christ did for you and the giving of His life on the tree, on Calvary, on a cross, and we sing the song, He died for me. He took my stead. And we think about Jesus taking our place and bearing our sins. And then if, according to this, we do it again, we crucify again for themselves the Son of God. You didn't do it just once, you did it twice. Because you neglected to grow on to that perfection, because you neglected to keep on keeping on. Because you chose to just throw it all away. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. There's several different points on Hebrews 10 that we'll look at. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Keep on keeping on. Don't stop. God will always be faithful. Focus on God and motivate each other to love and good works. He says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I think sometimes we ask the question, what is in the services for me? What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? What can I get out of meeting together at this place? And sometimes that may be a true question to ask. But I think more often the question to ask is, What am I putting into it? You see, because when you neglect it, and when you say, I'm not going to come, I'm not going to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ, you're saying, I don't care about you. Because I don't care to be here to help build you up. Because I don't care to be here and help you help me. How many times have you got a lesson together for somebody and they weren't here? It's like, man, I don't have nothing else to throw in there at the last minute. But you see, we have a duty to each other to build up one another with love and good works. I can't build you up if you don't want to be built up, and we come to a place where we can build one another up. And that is the purpose, really, I think, a lot of times of our coming together, is that we put something in. That we put something into the service. And into one another. And building up one another. We cannot forsake what we do here. And building each other up. Continuing on in verse 26. In the same breath, he says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. You see, in verse 23 through 25, he kind of said, you know, we need to build up each other. We need to have love and good works. And we need to encourage each other and build each other up, that we keep on keeping on, that we make it to the end. That we can go all the way to the reward. And in verses 26 and 27, he says, if you don't do it, let me tell you something. Let me give you some motivation to make it. You're going to die. And you're going to have that fiery indignation forever, which was set aside for the adversaries. But you have elected, by the way you have thrown it away, sinning willfully after you have the knowledge of the truth, you're going to join. I heard a guy liken it to this, and I could totally relate to it. He said it's kind of like the mom and dad mentality. Mama would sometimes... Really, this didn't happen very much, but sometimes it would. She would, now, do you know what you did? Tell me what you did. Now, tell me why you did what you did. Now, all right, you didn't clean up your room. Why did you not clean up your room? Okay, do you know what happens, how that makes mommy feel when you don't pick up your room? I feel real sad when mommy picks up. Can you tell me three reasons as to why you should clean up your room? And dad was just, you didn't do what I told you to do. And it's gone. It's over with. And I'd be going, can you just go get dad instead of us having this long, drawn-out conversation about how I shouldn't do it and how I should be better? But that's what God's saying. He's saying, I want you to build each other up. I want you to make it to the end. But if you don't, that's not going to remove the punishment if you fail, if you give up. If you sin willfully after you've received the knowledge of the truth. He says you're going to have that same punishment. Verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In verse 35, this therefore is the final conclusion. The whole point, the grand finale, the big hurrah at the end of it all, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't give it up. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. We are not of those who will see eternal punishment, but of the saving of the soul if we don't quit. Because it's not an option. Because it's not an option which has any kind of reward other than that fiery indignation and those and that terrible punishment of all eternity that was reserved and created for the devil and his angels. We cannot quit. Finished with this poem last week, and I'll read it again this week. Sometimes it's all I can do to take another step. Then God reminds me gently of the promises He's kept. At times I want to say I quit. I've had it all that I can take. It's hard to live by my own words. I feel like such a fake. I've tried so hard to be a light so that the Lord above could use me as a vessel to emanate His love. Giving up is not an option. I've trusted God too long. Even though my way is rough, He keeps me safe and strong. I know God is on my side. The victory has been won by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Lord, don't let me lose my faith. Help me to live each day contented in Your love and peace as You gently lead the way. Are you here this morning and you're not a Christian? If you're not a Christian, you don't know the joys of being a child of God. The joys of being a child of God, though it may have some rough times and rough patches, for it is the narrow way. It is the narrow gate, the rough way. But it leads to eternal life. If you're here this morning and you've thought about throwing it all away, if you thought about giving it up, if you've thought about not keeping on keeping on, you have today that we can build you up as brothers and sisters, as one another, that we can build you up to keep on keeping on. That you do not lose heart. That you do not give up, because of what happens when you give up? You give up that great harvest. That great reward which God has set aside for His children. If you're subject to the invitation, anyway, please come as we stand and as we sing.